This morning I'm going to go through three different phases, and I will make sure that you can understand what I'm trying to convey. The first thing is what? What am I going to present today? Second is, so what? What are you going to do with it? Why does it even matter? Third is, now what? Now that you know the what, and you know so what, now what? It's something that you can do as you live this life here on earth that God has blessed us with. Based on the scripture that Michelle read, Matthew 6:22-23, to give you a background of it, Jesus is talking to the ordinary common people. And he's trying to differentiate to them between hypocrisy and authenticity. Because back then, the religious leaders had so many laws and rules on them that was burdening them. And so Jesus comes and he speaks to them and he lets them know, what does it look like when you really have the light? What does it mean? Where does it come from? How does it act? How does it behave? And so he begins with saying, he mentions the I. Jesus is the only one in the New Testament that uses this term, single. Based on this scripture alone, people have two sorts of eyes. How many people? Two. You either have a single eye, or you either have an evil eye. Jesus was trying to let them know that a single eye, if that is single, or in the Greek term, it's spelled H-A-P-L-O-U-S. It means sincere. It means single-mindedness. It means that it's loyal to one. That if you have this, you'll be full of light. In contrast, if you had an evil eye, you were partial, or you did things not for God or for the love of men, but for yourself. You had an evil eye. What's interesting is most people, because of today in the media and the movies, we see good and evil, and evil looks ugly and scary and bad, and none of us can see us as evil. It's hard to see ourselves as evil. But when we read the Word of God, we can see that because we're not even close to his character, we are evil. And then Jesus gives hope. It's okay, you know, I'm not here to tell you you're evil and you can never be good. I'm letting you know that I'm here, I am the light, and with this light you can have it as well. Amen. And so, part of that then, sorry, now I understand why Pastor Nelson keeps fidgeting with his ear. These people were listening. These people are peasants. These people were fishermen, and they were trying to make a living. They were trying to feed their families. They were trying to keep the law. They were trying to understand who God is. And these religious sects came in and made it so difficult, or as like hard to reach. Like, how can I ever have the light? What does it mean to give the light? And so this morning's message is entitled, Do You Have the Light That Never Burns Out? Light is a beautiful, beautiful natural phenomenon. As grown-ups, we get so excited when we see lights. It's like we've never seen it before, from holidays and seasons, even to go to the tallest buildings, you can see light. There's something about light that is appealing and attractive. It stands out in darkness. And Jesus is trying to teach here, you know, if you're going to have a single eye, that means your whole body is full of light. If you're going to have an evil eye, it's going to be full of darkness. And then, interestingly, he said, if the light in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? What What does that mean? With my research, I learned that because the Christian life is analogous to a walk, okay? You read, I'm a Christian, so I'm gonna walk the life. You don't leap, you don't jump, you don't swim, you don't sprint. You walk. It's a day-by-day process. And every day, there are choices that we make. And every day, the Spirit is pleading with each and every one of us to follow Him and to do His will. And the more we say no, the more we reject Him, the more we run into our own things, that light becomes dark. It's a habitual thing for the light that is within you to turn dark. It is not a natural process. It's because it happened over and over and over again. And so in order to have light, to be full of light, it is based on our decision, yours and mine. The light will not force its way in. That's the beauty of our God. God is so good. As beautiful and as powerful as He is, and as much as He loves us, He will not force us to do His will. We have to want it. We don't have to earn it. It's free. One of the things that I was interested in is when becoming a Christian and learning to think and wonder, I would always see a lighthouse to represent the essence of light. And with the message that says, you are the light of the world. And I used to wonder, why do they use a lighthouse? It is immobile, it's stationary, it's not human. Its sole purpose is to help people in the dark or crew members who are lost at sea. And then I realized the profound message behind that lighthouse that they show is because it works in the dark for those who are lost. Our job as people with the light is to go work in the dark and find those who are lost. We don't come here just to fellowship and dress nice and say, Happy Sabbath! When you didn't refuel, you didn't think that you're on a mission. A week has passed, God has blessed me, I'm here, my loved ones are here. Now I'm going to go on to the beginning of a new week. Father, what do you have in store for me? Amen. It is purposeful, it is deliberate. You don't live by chance. You live for Jesus Christ. In order to live for Him, you have to get to know Him. You know, one of the things that I find very hard is to talk about somebody that the person that I'm talking to doesn't know. Do you find that hard? When you try to brag to somebody about somebody and they look at you like, oh, okay, yeah, that's, oh, really, yeah. It is easier when you talk about somebody that you already know. Or I talk about somebody that you already know. I'm hoping and praying that while I'm talking about Jesus and His life, you already know what I'm talking about. You're not confused. Because in order to know Jesus, we have to study His character. We don't just say, Father, Jesus, and pray in Jesus' name, give me, give me, give me, give me. And then we don't give back to Him. One of the things I learned to say, if you don't say, Father, why me, when everything goes right in your life, don't say, Father, why me, when things go bad. There is a reason why things go bad and why things go well. Where did you grow the most? During good times or during bad times? During bad times. That's why we were taught to be grateful for everything. And when you grow from that, your light shines brighter. Because as I have learned, Satan is not after your marriage. Satan is not after your career. Satan is not after your reputation. He's after your joy. Because when he can suck the joy out of you, you cannot work for Christ. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. I stand here on this floor, not on my own merit. It's because of the joy that I have in my Lord. Amen. The joy, the light, it's empowering. It builds. and cushions and comforts and edifies, not the opposite. Some of us get confused. We say, oh, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? Who do you follow? Because when you choose Christ, you automatically not choose the opposite. You guys understand that? Anytime you make a choice, you automatically disqualify everything else. So it's almost like you made two choices. And as I have learned and I like to share, we may not get anything and everything we want in life. We only get what we choose. We have to choose wisely. Because while we're here living this life, while we're trying to make a living, while we're trying to build ourselves, while we're trying to take care of our children, while we're trying to put food on the table, while we're trying to pay our bills, while we're trying to get ahead as Christians, there's always darkness. This darkness can permeate in your life if you don't take the time to read God's word. How do you get this light? Can it burn out? Friends, I'm hoping it can only burn out when you expire. I'm hoping it can only burn out when you've taken your last breath. And not because you have turned your back on God and said, I'd rather walk this way. I'd rather walk with the world because I love the accolades. I love the applause of men. I love how they live. They look like they're having fun. They look like they have no worries. I'd rather live this way than with you, Jesus, because it costs too much. Have you noticed when walking with Jesus, it is not easy? I used to wonder, you know, people say, oh God, he's the all-powerful one. He has everything. And he should be happy because he can control things and he knows things. And I used to wonder, does anybody here envy God and want to take his place? Probably not, because we recognize what God gave, his only begotten Son. He died. Anybody here willing to die for their loved ones or their friends? I saw one hand, two hands. Thank God, three. Thank God we don't have to. Anyone here willing to live for Jesus Christ? So now that I went over this lighthouse, and because it's not human, what does it have to do with us? Another amazing thing Jesus brought up is that he says, you are the light of the world. Where do we get this light from? Because of our own humanity, we don't have light. We don't have anything. We learn to get it from him. We learn to study him and how he dealt with people. Did you know that Jesus was a people expert? He loved people. Amen. In order for us to be the light of the world, we have to love people.
Amen.
Like people. You're not biased. You're not prejudiced. You don't discriminate. And these are some of the things that are hard for us because our carnal mind, we can be very selective. It depends. If you don't believe me, look at the crowd that you hang around with on Sabbath. Are you selective? Look at your association at work. Are you selective? Look at your family members. Are you selective? Do you share with every single person the love of Jesus? Or you look and say, oh, you know what? she's worth it. Oh yeah, I see she reads her Bible. She looks nice or she dresses nice. Yeah, I'm gonna invest my time with her. But you leave everybody else out who may need that one little light to give them hope. When Jesus asked us to be the light, he knew that it was going to take work. And for some of us, we don't like work. Work could be a bad word to some people. As Christians, it takes work. Did you guys notice that? You work on yourself. You work on what you have to do. You work on who you want to become. You work on influencing people rather than being influenced. You don't let the circumstances of life change your relationship with God.
Yeah.
You don't let people who mistreat you change your relationship with God and say, God, why this, why that? As if he's the enemy. You have a mature mind and you recognize, Father, I'm being bombarded left and right. I'm having a hard time showing this light. But God calls us to let it shine. He doesn't say strive to let it shine or try to let it shine. He said, let it shine. Let it shine. I don't believe in what they call self-confidence or self-esteem. This is my own study and my own thinking because even I turn myself down. But I do believe in God confidence and God esteem.
Amen.
When you have the light, my friends, you have the highest esteem.
Amen.
You have the highest confidence. You have no fear. What's strange is something is not right with us sometimes. In that we don't grow in Him. If you are the same today as you were last year, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all the subjective things, all the abstract things, something is not right. With Jesus Christ, there is progress. Progress into perfection. There's no backsliding. What does that mean? All of you are equipped to do some kind of work out there. Let it shine. Don't cover it. Don't be ashamed of it. I think of people or Christians like that as Christian atheists. You profess you're a Christian, but when it comes down to it, you act like an atheist. You forget that God is real, and you don't want to show the world that God is alive and well in you. Of all the religions in the world, Christians are the only ones who serve a living God.
Amen.
We're the only ones who have a living God. We believe in Jesus Christ that he's coming back. Others, we wait for Jesus Christ. There are others waiting for the Messiah. There's others waiting for Buddha. There's others waiting for Imam. How can you tell who's right by reading his word and having a relationship with him? Incidentally, in order to start your day off with the light, start it with the Word of God.
Amen.
Studies have shown this. The first 5 minutes of every conversation you have with every single different person sets the tone for that day. Are you hearing me? So that means if you wake up and you get in an argument with your spouse, or you're upset with your children, or you're upset with a coworker, those first 5 minutes now take over, and now the rest of your day feels ruined. Be wise and be smart. When somebody comes into you and wants to attack you and take your joy and make you feel like you're not anybody, like you have nothing to offer, you back up and you say, look, let's stop. Let's enjoy these first 5 minutes of our conversation so that the rest of our day is good. And when the rest of your day is good, you have the rest of the day to show your light. See, we have to learn how to balance and recognize that we are commissioned to do a job. Our first job is doing what God called us to do. We may not get a check. You may not get paid for it, but there's a reward that comes with doing God's work first.
Amen.
A great, great reward. If you were to list every single blessing from God, you would your body recognize, God, you do care for me. You do understand that as a sinner, I'm struggling, and I don't feel worthy to share your light. But you've given me this opportunity to share your light because you believe in me. Do you think God would ask you to share his light if he didn't believe in you? One of the best things about being Christians is to be able to believe in others more than they believe in themselves. Because you see their value, you see their potential. You can see, like this one song I heard say, the fingerprint of God on them. Every time we come around people, we have to be aware and have self-awareness. Am I positive right now? How am I feeling right now? What am I doing right now? Is my expression friendly? Are my words light? Can this person next to me feel my light? Sometimes sharing your light means you just keep your mouth closed. Because words are very, very powerful. When we talk about the light, we understand it's because there's darkness, and scientists cannot define darkness. They don't know what to say. They just say, darkness is absence of light. But as Christians, we can say, darkness is absence of Jesus Christ. When you're feeling dark, when you're in a dark atmosphere, call upon the name of Jesus to bring light into that situation. One of the ways we burn out is because we think we can emit light. Some of us forget that our source of light is not from us. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is eternal. He never changes. And when I was working on this message, I thought, you know, it can be repetitive. People may have heard this before, but I got the sense that, you know what? It's this way. You know why it's this way? You know why you get the same stories over and over and over again from the Bible? Because the truth never changes. If you heard something different, somebody changed it. And that is not from the Word of God. Being in the light, walking in the light, being the light derives from the foundation of having a relationship with Jesus. Why Jesus? What is so special about Jesus? No one can claim, as it is written, when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. What's wrong with our world? Full of sin. Full of evil. And as you study more God's word, you recognize that this evil or this sin is because it's opposite of God's character. The other worlds that have not fallen into sin, they are in harmony. Incidentally, if you want to know more about this characteristic of the light, it's in Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm hearing you, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, mind. It begins with love. And then we have joy sharing this light. If you're a Christian who looks sad and who looks annoyed, who does not look happy, what are your chances of inviting somebody and they will come and follow you to church? There is power in association, and part of being a part of this association is that you are empowered to go out and be positive and happy. Jesus walked, and he wanted to reach those who had lost hope. And when he brought up to let your light shine, and he brought up, like, you know, there could be a city on a hill, and all eyes can see it, and you can have a lampstand in your house. Don't put it under a bowl, let it shine. Because back in the day, most people only had one room in their home. So he was trying to identify with them. What does that look like? And I was curious, why did he use a place outside and another place inside? I realized then that Jesus is trying to tell us something. If we're going to let our light shine, let it begin in the home. To get deeper, let it begin within. When our family members are confused because they see the light when you're outside, when you come home, it's a different story. That's more like darkness to you. It confuses people. A single eye, when Jesus said that, meant single-mindedness. You were focused in one area. You had unspoiled loyalty. You were the same in and out of home. When you go to work, when you go to shop and do about your daily business, there's something about you when you walk with the light. What's hard is that God understands the many roles that we have to fulfill. First as child of God, and then child of your parents, and then spouse, and then parent, and for those of you in school, student, for those of you who work, employee. So many roles to fill. Each of those roles, God requires of us to share the light.